You are listening to Indie Soul Rhythms with Minchi Alfonso.
It's good for us. And it's good for me, yeah.
The show that brings you the very best in Indie Soul. It's probably the grooviest show on the planet.
Today's guest is Antonio Magaha, an artist known for pushing creative boundaries. In today's conversation, we will be diving into what inspired him to create a sequel to The Rebirth of Season 1, and also maybe just talk about his perspective on the industry, collaborations, and productions. Antonio, welcome to Indie Soul Rhythms.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again, Mucci. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. I remember the last time we spoke, we were speaking about Rebirth Season 1.
And correct.
You did mention that there was something in the offing. To be honest with you, I did not expect that.
Okay.
But what we're going to do, we'll just start because, you know, I know that there's still some people out there who don't know who you are. And they need to know who you are. So we're going to start from the very beginning. Can you just take us back to the beginning and just give us an insight of what inspired you to pursue music and how your journey has evolved over the years?
Sure. Again, thank you for allowing me this opportunity and space to share with the listening audience who I am and my music. So essentially, I grew up in Mississippi, in a small rural country area. I'm in a very musical family. All of my family, my mom, my father, sister, we all sing. My mother, she actually went to college, and I think she got her initial degree in music. So she just, I was always, my dad, you know, beyond him singing and being a bass player, he was playing records. Like, music was around us all the time. I mean, from Monday through Monday, you know, music, you know, we went places. He was playing music. Of course, we sang. So it's just kind of, it was just, for me, it was always there. And I took a liking to it. I found myself quite often in my room just studying a lot of R&B artists, older school R&B artists. And then, you know, later on in the 90s, kind of emulating their sound or what have you. And of course, my parents and I, we did a lot of singing in our church, did quartet style singing. So music, like I said, is just was something that was always there. And I've always been passionate about. You know, when I moved to Atlanta, Georgia in 1997, even though music, I was always passionate about it, I took the route of being, I think I majored in biology because I, you know, also love science a little bit. But what was crazy is I didn't really love it as much as I love music. I didn't feel like pursuing a degree or an occupation in music would, at that point in time, getting a degree in music would pay, you know, pay well. So I, you know, opted to take that route. But due to a unfortunate situation that happened to me going into my senior year, I ended up getting expelled. Nothing, you know, that I caused or what have you. It actually put me back on the path of music. So I ended up joining a church and playing the drums and ended up being a lead singer. I was encouraged by my now wife, who was actually the minister of music at the church, to kind of get out front. She's always been just kind of pushing me out front. So I found myself back in the flow of doing music. So that's kind of how, you know, in a nutshell, how all of this all, you know, came about.
Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to the Rebirth Season 2, and I kind of hear, you know, a blend of multiple genres. How would you describe your musical identity, and what influences what influences shaped your artistry?
Yeah, you're right. I listen to, and I, you know, the older I've gotten, the older that I get, I'm learning to appreciate more styles of music. When I grew up, primarily gospel, you know, R&B, that was what we, you know, played in my household. But I, you know, again, as I've gotten older, I'm just learning to appreciate even country, you know, country music and rock music and jazz, of course. So with this project, because I'm, you know, I'm influenced by everything. You know, I used to call my music life music because I always try to pull from life experiences and things that I've been through, things that may be going on in the world, things that other people around me are going through. And I try to encapsulate or embody that in my music with a message, because I believe ultimately, as a musician, as a conduit, because, as an artist, we're just, this is flowing through us. You know what I'm saying? It's everything we're giving is for, for people to hear, for lives to be changed, for people to be inspired. So I just try to pull from those sources, and once I'm in the flow, and as the music is flowing and the lyrics are flowing, you get what you get. But yeah, I'm easily influenced by like a variety, as as you mentioned, styles of music, because I just, to me, I've always had an issue. Even when I started out, I was a gospel artist. But I, even with that, it's like I don't feel like I should be just boxed into one genre. I think it's so many different emotions and feelings and things that come from all of these styles of music. Why do I have to just be this? Now, of course, I tell people that I'm R&B soul music, but I, ultimately I'm just a music artist, and I whatever I feel like God is saying or whatever's being said in the moment, I try to tap into that, and I let what's supposed to flow through me. That's what I do.
Yeah, I guess it's all about the message in the music rather than what style of music. I don't
Indeed.
is it the OJs who say the message is in the music and the music is in the message?
The music is in the message. I've gotten away from, in this present season of my life, I love to perform. I've always liked to perform, but for me now, it's like having a platform. When I get an opportunity to stand before people, my objective is to change minds, to change hearts, to show people love in my music. We're dealing with a whole lot. We won't go into that in detail, just in what the
Yes.
world is taking place. But for me now, again, as a conduit, I use I try to be very intentional about using that platform to make a difference. Because so to me, as an artist, if you're not doing that, then why are you doing it? And that's not to knock anybody else's styles of music or content, but for me, I know that's my place, and I know that's my purpose. So each and every opportunity I get, I'm intentional about making sure that message that it goes for. So you're absolutely correct. I'm very big on that. Very big on that.
Yeah. So the Rebirth season one was, it was highly acclaimed and it's got some really gems on it. But what inspired you to create a sequel? And how does this differ from season one?
So initially, when the whole idea of the rebirth concept came about, it was for me. So let me take a step back. So a friend of mine, years and years and years ago, before this was ever even thought about, we were having a conversation. She, her husband, my wife, and I can't remember what led into the conversation, or to this part of the conversation. But she was like, "I see coming down the pipeline, your music is getting ready to change. Your content." And I was like, okay, it was just kind of almost like she was getting this download, you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, whatever, I'm up for it. But here, 7, 8, 9 years later, some of the experiences that I've had, not even some, most of the experiences I've had and things that I've been through, my journey in healing has afforded me the opportunity to be reborn again, if you will. My sound is different. My content. When you listen to some of my earlier releases, it's different. You know what I mean? The content, the sound, the flow, even my collaborations. I'm doing a lot more collaborating with artists and producers or what have you. So ultimately, like it's the experiences that I've had in the last probably 10, 15, 20 years of my life that's really shaped and reborn me into this space and place where I am right now. What happened with Rebirth Season 1? I kind of did it backwards. The point or the idea was to start and take people on a journey from, where I was, in a particular space and place in my life, and to take them to the present, where I am. I ended up doing it backwards. So the Rebirth Season 1 actually details where I am presently in my life, just in terms of love and things of that nature. Season 2 kind of takes you back to the process. And just in terms of what I dealt with in relationships and hardships and just mental health healing and releasing a lot of stuff, a lot of people to kind of get to where I am in season one, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It sounds like your friend was kind of making a prophecy there.
She did. She did. I didn't know it. She did. And she's actually, shout out to Tamara Madison. She's actually on the song Radical. She's the poet on the last song in the album. So she was the one. She spoke that. She spoken it into existence, I guess, if you will. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so creating Rebirth Season 2, what challenges or surprises did you encounter during this production?
You know what? I won't say that I had any challenges. I'm so grateful to be in a space creatively where things are just, when I was writing, it was flowing, like it was flowing. And I have this saying now that I like to say, when it's flowing, you keep going. And I just kind of got into a space and a place, and I just, I kept writing and kept recording. Shout out to one of the producers, or two of the producers on the project, Khalid Salam, who did the bulk of the production. Actually, we collaborated writing wise on a few of the songs as well. And my guy Troy Maddox. But it's just like every track that they sent me, it was like, man, it just worked. It wasn't like I had to spend a lot of time thinking about it, writing and then coming back to it. It just was flowing. It was flowing. So fortunately, again, too, with Khalid Salam, one of the producers, some of the songs that he sent me, he had already finished, and he was just looking for a vocalist. But when I listened to the content, I'm like, I would have written this song. This is something that I would have, because it very much aligns with some of the things I've been through, to some of the things I've endured. So it's just like a puzzle. You know what I'm saying? Putting together, it's just putting in the pieces. They all fit. They all fit, and it flowed. So yeah, that's essentially what happened, with this process. It was seamless, more or less. Yeah.
Yeah, you've mentioned a couple of people that you've worked with, producers and collaborators. So, what's your process in terms of choosing who to collaborate with or choosing a producer?
Got you. Again, out of a full hearted gratitude, I would say I didn't go looking for these guys. This kind of, I believe we I'm very big on energy, and I'm very big on attraction. You know what I mean? We essentially attract who we are, and it's not to knock anybody that I haven't worked with or anything like that, but I'm just really big on energy and spirits being and mindsets being, you know what I mean, in sync. So with these two guys, I met them over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, and they just started sending me music, man, and it just worked. And I think ultimately it works because we're in sync. We have a common mindset, you know what I mean? How we view family, how we view the world, how we view, our art. So, with them sending the tracks, it's just like, I mean, it just worked, it just worked. So the process, again, it wasn't difficult. It wasn't difficult. I would say if there was a difficulty, maybe the hardest thing was figuring out how to the track listing and how I wanted the story to be told, and just the alignment with each song flowing into the next. That might have been the most difficult thing. Outside of that, the creative process, man, was very, 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 very easy. This go around.
I asked that question because I think I just want people to really understand that, some of these things you don't need to force it. It's got to be, there has to
There
be
you
an
go.
alignment.
There you
And
go.
if it's meant to be, it will be. You don't have to force it. And then when you do it that way, it just flows and the production, the product of it is
It works.
amazing at the end of it.
Being, for me, forcing anything takes away from the authenticity of it. That's not, if you got to force it, is it really who you are? Is that what you really wanted to say? Are you writing a record just to be a hot record? You know what I mean? And for people to say you're the hottest, whatever. I'm kind of, again, I've gotten away from a lot of that. It's about the message. It's about being real, because I think for people to be able to identify and to be able to connect with me as an artist, there has to be a connection point. You know what I mean? And if I'm not being real within myself, real with what I'm saying, real with my content, then it's just really hard. Or for the people that are supposed to connect with that content, it's going to be very difficult. So authenticity to me in writing and performing, and just art in general is of utmost importance. Yeah, being authentic and real is a must. It's a must.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of being an independent artist because you don't have a label dictating what you
Indeed.
how you should do things. And sometimes you'd be doing, you have to compromise your values
Right.
to please a label. Whereas if you're independent, you've got that option to be authentic and just do the right thing all the time.
I love it. It's free. There's a lot of freedom in that. A lot of freedom. Absolutely. Yeah.
So do you prefer to craft a song organically in the studio, or do you come in with a clear vision of what you want to do in terms of your creative process?
Process. Sometimes I can be on my way to work and I'll hear a melody and I'll take my phone, I'll record that melody, and I may get back to it around lunchtime or when I get home and develop it that way. I may hear something on TV, or see something. I may smell something. You know what I'm saying? So I try to really keep myself in a space and place where I'm open, for whatever so that I'm supposed to be influenced by, for that to come and me to latch on to it and then create. Sometimes, again, the two producers that I work with, they'll send me. Khalid was very good. He was sending me tracks every other day. So while I'm at work on my lunch break, I'm listening to this track, and I kind of listen to, not so much as, again, not trying to make a hot record, but what is this track saying? Like, I try to, as a writer, what is this track saying? And tapping into that, it just, again, allows me to be in a space and place where I'm able to write to it. And everything, that I was able to write to these tracks was, to me, it worked. I mean, they just worked hook, line, and sinker. It was all in sync. So, that's pretty much my process. I will, here and there, when I get stumped, or I may get stuck, I may take a break and come back to it 2 or 3 days, from now, and kind of revisit it. But I can honestly say, Muji, that I didn't, with this project, like, when it was flowing, I kept going. It's just, I didn't, there wasn't really a lot of, I think there's writer's block. I didn't experience that at all with this project. So, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And I think it shows in the product that you've put out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
So
you.
in terms of music industry and how it's evolving, and also like with streaming AI generated content,
Right.
and also I see that there are a lot of independent artists that are coming up. How do you stay ahead of the curve while maintaining your authenticity?
I'll be blatantly honest with you. In terms of the AI and how that's affecting them, I haven't really paid a lot of attention to that, and maybe I should be. I'm just a firm believer that when you are authentic and you're real, that authenticity is gonna win every time. And I'm not knocking. I think, we should all be open to the various ways, creative ways that we can enhance our art, and our engagement, and the ways that we get it out to the world. So I'm definitely not against that. But just in terms of the sheer authenticity of an artist, and that being recreated by AI, I'm gonna honestly say I kind of have an issue with that. So how do we combat it? Is that something that we are to combat or be, overly concerned with? I don't know. I don't know. I honestly, I don't think I've thought a lot about it. I just, for me, again, just in a space where I'm gonna keep doing and being me. And I think, again, as if I can continue to do that and be my authentic self and be real and stay in my lane, because that's something I think is very important too for artists, that we have to be very cognizant of, is staying in our lane. You listen to the radio, and I don't even listen to the radio that much anymore. I tell people all the time, the first five or six artists that you hear of mainstream radio, they sound the same. You know what I mean? Stay in your lane. You know what I mean? And I think if you stay consistent and you stay true to who you are, you will find your tribe, you will find your audience, you will find the people that are supposed to listen to you and be in tune with what you're doing. But staying consistent is the key. And it can be very difficult and hard sometimes, because I've been doing this for a long time. And I can honestly say that at this present state, point in my life, where it feels like it's really started to, I'm reaching the tipping point, But had I given up 10 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, then I might not be here. So resilience and being consistent and staying authentic is, I think that's just the ways that you continue to move forward and you continue to push the art forward.
Right. So having said all that, so what has been your proudest moment, as an artist?
Proudest moment has been I think this would be the second time I've released music in the UK, and it's I know on the Amazon UK music charts, I've had it to go number one. So that for me has been, I never would have 5, 6 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to tell me that that would be happening. And just to hear you say, again, to reaffirm that the music is doing as great as it is over there like because that's ultimately for me, any artist that would tell you that they don't want to be, affirmed, or they don't want to be liked, or their music to be liked, I think that's not necessarily being true. So being able to have outside of the United States people that are really in tune and engaging with my music, man, it makes me feel really, really good. And not just the music, but the message, you know what I mean? So I would say that all both times has been very, 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 very two very proud moments, in my life.
We love
Yeah.
our soul music here in the UK, so
You guys have a, to me, you guys have a greater appreciation for it. I feel like you guys have a greater appreciation, here in America, and I don't want to go off on my diatribe, but there's so many things that we take for granted. There's so many things that we take for granted, but it to me, it feels very much so like you guys have a much greater appreciation for music in the UK. So thank you, UK, for that. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
We love the music. We
Yeah.
love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's next for you? Are there any upcoming projects, live performances, new ventures we should be looking out for? Any?
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead. So
Go.
I'm in this season. I'm focusing. I do have a couple of performances coming up next month here in Atlanta, with my band. So just really focusing more on some of the live performances, and actually performing some of the music from my albums or most of my music, in a live setting. I think that's always exciting to be able to take what you do on record and then to do it with a live band organically. Like it's just, it's, yeah, I love it. So we're doing that. In terms of recording projects, I don't have anything on tap, as of yet. I do have some things that I've been, talking to some other producers about, probably over in the next, we'll say maybe fall, maybe next year, we'll be looking to maybe do some more projects. But I'm adamant right now about pushing season two and just getting the most that I can get out of it, because the response that I've gotten is telling me that people really want to, engage and hear more of it, and hear more of it in a live setting. So that's kind of where my focus is right now. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a couple of fun questions.
Sure.
So what's the best compliment you've ever received?
The best compliment I've ever received. Wow. That's a good question. I'll say this. Any compliment that I receive from anyone, I'm grateful for, because I don't think people have to say anything nice. You know what I mean? It's not mandated. You don't have to go out of your way to come tell me, man, I was really touched by your performance. I was really touched by your music. So I probably wouldn't rate any of the compliments or what have you any higher than the other, because I'm grateful for anybody who takes the time out to tell me, that they love my music. I bought your music. It's really moving me, and I shared it with, all of my family members. All of that to me means the world, because people don't have to do that. So I'll say that. Yeah.
And what's the worst piece of advice you've ever got?
Worst piece of advice. Worst piece of advice. I was told years ago, and when I say years ago, probably 10 plus 12 plus years ago, when I started out doing music, and I'm talking about early stages, that in a nutshell, that this person didn't think that, that I was gonna, and I'm paraphrasing, that I was gonna be what I thought I was gonna be, that the music was not gonna go the way that I thought it was gonna go. Very disheartening. But I also use it as fuel, unbeknownst to this person, you know what I mean? But yeah, that was, starting out, being young, just getting my feet wet, that was a it was a blow to the chest, I'll say that.
Sure.
But like I said, I use it as fuel, and I'm still here. I'm still doing it. Yeah.
And if you were to walk in somebody's shoes for 24 hours, who might that be?
Wow. Walk in somebody's shoes for 24 hours. Huh. Another good question. I'm gonna say this. Because I'm really learning to love myself like infinitely. There's some things, of course, that I definitely aspire to have and to move towards and things of that nature. But I think everybody has their cross to bear. Everybody has their things that they have to deal with, good, bad, or indifferent, So for me to look at somebody else's scenario situation and say, from the outside looking in that I want to be, and then get into a situation and be like, man, I want my So I'm kind of, I love who I am. I love who I've been created to be. So I honestly, a little more money, and not money just to blow and to have, as far as materialism, but I believe, being able to have the money and I would like to have, there's a certain amount of freedom in that, you know what I mean? To be able to be more creative, to be able to travel the world and see things that I haven't been able to see. But yeah, I would be me. I would be
Fantastic.
me. Yeah.
And lastly, if three collaborations, if the three artists, three key artists, if you're given three artists to collaborate with, or sorry, given an option to collaborate with three artists, who might that be?
Yep. So it's gonna sound very eclectic, as you've already said. Fred Hammond, very big gospel artist. I'm sure you know who he is. I've always loved Fred's writing, and his music has always spoke to me. When I was doing gospel music, and even now, DJ Quick, believe it or not, DJ Quick, a hip hop artist out on the West Coast. His production to me has always been top tier. His mixes have always been just super pristine. So I love his production style. And lastly, Stevie Wonder. I think I would love to do a collaboration with Stevie Wonder. Yeah, because it's, that's the music I grew up on, and just again, his writing and his content to me is just timeless. It's timeless. So,
Amazing. So what message do you hope that Rebirth Season 2 would deliver to your audience?
Rebirth 2 is all about resilience. It's about transformation. It's about really coming into the knowledge and awareness of your authentic self and showing up as your authentic self every time. Again, all of the circumstances and situations that you listen to, because it's a story when you listen to the record. All of those things, again, I was reborn, I was rebirthed into this person, this real, authentic, genuine individual who I am. So yeah, just allowing those circumstances not to drown you. Allowing those circumstances or disallowing those circumstances, to pigeonhole you or to make you quiet or to cower down, but just allowing them to really allow you to be who you've been created to be, whatever shape, form, or fashion that may be. Sometimes these situations can take us out and can make us depressed and all the varying negative things that can happen. But yeah, allowing those situations to be the catalyst. For a better you. So that would be my message to people that listen to it. Yeah.
Brilliant. So are there any plans to do live shows? I know you said you've got a few dates to, to do in the US. Are there any plans to do any live shows in the UK?
I would love to. So if you have any connections or you have some shows, please let me know, because I've been saying for the last 3, 4 years, I would love, absolutely love to come to UK to perform live. So, if any opportunities you know of, I would love to. Would love to. Yes.
And we
Yes.
would love to have you here. So yeah, we'll keep the communications lines open, and
Okay.
if I get anyone biting, I'll give you a shout.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking time to
Thank you.
chat with us. Any final words, any nuggets you might want to pass on to aspiring artists who are thinking of doing this, going into the music industry as an independent artist.
Yes, most certainly. I think getting into music, you really have to, and it may not necessarily start, or you may not be at this place when you start, But really, getting to a place where you understand why you're doing what you're doing, that why is going to matter when money is not flowing and people are not checking for you. You may be getting bad advice. That why is going to always matter. Being consistent, staying consistent, even when you don't feel like it, it matters. And just really staying in your lane and being authentic. It's very easy to look at to the left and look to the right and look down the road and start comparing yourself to all of these other artists that are doing well and, touring the world and doing. But, when you know who you are and you know what you're supposed to be doing, you put those blinders on and just stay true to who you are, because ultimately I believe it's going to lead to you being, where you're supposed to be for the people you're supposed to be for. So yeah, stay true, stay true, stay to stay authentic, stay authentic, excuse me, stay consistent. And know your why. Know your why. Know why you do it.
That's really good advice. Before we let you go, we absolutely gonna play one of your tracks,
Okay.
your which is like kind of on rotation at the moment.
Okay.
Could you tell us a little bit about that song and what inspired it and what message you're hoping listeners will get out of that, and then
Which song is it? Which song? I didn't hear you.
express.
Which song?
Your love.
Your Love. So I'm a very big 90s R&B fan. I think I probably said that earlier. Like, I grew up 90s R&B, to me, outside of the 70s, was one of the greatest eras in R&B music. The feel good nature of it, and just the, yeah, it's just felt good. So just in terms of the track, it definitely had a very 90s feel to it. But the content, when I write about love, more than likely in most of my songs that I'm writing about love, I'm talking about my muse, which is my wife. I'm always I try to use opportunities as an artist to express to her how I feel about her, So the song is essentially just telling her in the best way that I know how as an artist, what I feel about her and what I feel about her love. But it was very much 90s inspired. Yes.
Amazing.
Thank
And
you.
you do us the honor of introducing that song for us.
This is Your Love by Antonio Magaha, and this is off the Rebirth Season 2 project that's presently out and due on all digital music streaming platforms.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to Indie Soul Rhythms with Minchi Alfonso.
It's good for us. And it's good for me, yeah.
The show that brings you the very best in indie soul. It's probably the grooviest show on the planet.
Hey everybody, welcome to Indie Soul Rhythms. Today's guest is Antonio Magaha, an artist known for pushing creative boundaries. In today's conversation, we'll be diving into what inspired him to create a sequel to The Rebirth of Season 1. And also maybe just talk about his perspective on the industry, collaborations and productions. Antonio, welcome to Indie Soul Rhythms.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again, Bucci. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. I remember the last time we spoke, we were speaking about Rebirth, Season 1, and
Correct.
you did mention that there was something in the offing. And to be honest with you, I did not expect that would happen.
Okay.
But what we're gonna do, we'll just start because I know that there's still some people out there who don't know who you are, and they need to know who you are. So we're gonna start from the very beginning. Can you just take us back to the beginning and just give us an insight of what inspired you to pursue music, and how your journey has evolved over the years?
Sure. Again, thank you for allowing me this opportunity and space to share with the listening audience who I am and my music. So essentially, I grew up in Mississippi, in a small rural country area, in a very musical family. All of my family, my mom, my father, sister, we all sing. My mother, she actually went to college, and I think she got her initial degree in music. So she just, I was always, my dad, beyond him singing, and being a bass player, he was playing records. Like, music was around us all the time. I mean, from Monday through Monday, music, we went places. He was playing music. Of course, we sang. So it's just kind of, it was just, for me, it was always there. And I took a liking to it. I found myself quite often in my room just studying a lot of R&B artists, older school R&B artists, and then, later on in the 90s, kind of emulating their sound or what have you. And of course, my parents and I, we did a lot of singing in our church, did quartet style singing. So music, like I said, it just was something that was always there and I've always been passionate about. When I moved to Atlanta, Georgia in 1997, even though music, I was always passionate about it, I took the route of being, I think I majored in biology because I, also love science a little bit. But what was crazy is I didn't really love it as much as I love music. I didn't feel like pursuing a degree or an occupation in music would, at that point in time, get a degree in music.